Internationally acclaimed composer Michael Tarkey has been commissioned by SPAC to create an orchestral work for the Philadelphia Orchestra to premiere this Friday during the 2016 anniversary celebration. Tarkey's longtime connections to SPAC and Saratoga are deeply personal, as he's a nine-time resident of Yaddo, the artist community providing an opportunity for artists to work without interruption in a supportive environment located on a 400-acre estate in Saratoga Springs. The world premiere of Michael Tarkey's latest work is tomorrow night at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, conducted by Stefan Denev, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Michael Tarkey back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks again.
How does a commission, this particular commission, come to be? In other words, why did you say yes?
Oh, why did I say yes? Well, it was a dream commission. You have a single patron, Charles Waite, with his wife Candace Waite, who met me last summer when I flew out to meet them over a drink, saying, "We want a work, and we want a major work, and we like your music, and go to town." The only thing they said was, "Can you do something that will be perhaps inspired by the area, by the region, by Saratoga?" But normally when you get a commission, it's like an orchestra saying, "Well, we should have meetings and we should decide what it is." And this was a straight ahead one-to-one kind of arrangement.
Is it easier when you are looking for that connection to Saratoga Springs, when you were actually at Yaddo in that place and creating it? Does it come easier?
Well, in a certain way, yes, because I knew Saratoga all the way back to 1984. And working with New York City Ballet in the late 80s and early 90s, they would come up and do my work. And so I've been around the area. I know it. It kind of, now that I'm here at Yaddo, it feels kind of like being at home, not being away right from home. That helps. Although ultimately for the inspiration, which Charles was pointing me kind of to 100 years ago, 150 years ago, I went all the way back 240 years ago to the Revolutionary War times, where the Battle of Saratoga was the turning point of our Revolutionary War.
So tell us about the piece. It's four movements, correct?
Yeah.
So tell us about the piece, its construction, and ultimately the story that you wanted it to tell.
Four movements, where the first movement, called Summon, has the kind of sound, the kind of evocation of a muster, of a call to arms. The whole piece begins with a trumpet melody that's developed in a certain way, and it almost sounds like the kind of music you would hear at intermission calling the people back to their seats for the second half. I even said to Charles, maybe you should think about that. And anyway, second movement, Dawn, is like a second movement of a symphony, where it's contrasting, it's soft, it is slower, and evokes the kind of mist of a dawn when many times battles are waged in secret. The third movement, Advance, is short, 3.5 minutes, almost like a symphonic scherzo, where the music is surging forward. And the last movement, which is more contemplative, at least at the beginning, is called Liberty, and that's the result of gaining our independence.
And did you feel, and did you want it to, obviously you're doing this as a commission to come for the 50th anniversary of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, but when that anniversary is over with and the balloons have deflated, then the piece lives on, doesn't it?
I hope it. I mean, that is our hope as composers, that a piece will have some amount of legs. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world, but that's our dream. And I wanted it to have some kind of universality to it, so that it wasn't an occasional piece. That was right. The thing that was most on my mind.
And in doing that, what are the ingredients to making sure that it isn't an occasional piece?
Well, one thing that's obvious is if I called it the Battle of Saratoga, maybe other orchestras would say, well, we're not interested in that. Hmm. If you find a kind of a word like unconquered, that has a more broader sense. The other thing is that no piece is going to have legs based on what it's about. A piece has legs based on the music or I should say the quality of music. I can't make any claims for that. I work as hard as I can to put the notes together in the best way. And if it turns out that people are interested in those arrangements of notes over time, then it will last. I don't think that what the piece is about is what's going to make it live, but the quality of the music.
Our Saratoga bureau chief, Lucas Willard, followed you and did a very interesting series of pieces that are available on our website at WAMC.org into the creation from the beginning stages to this point. And I'm just curious as to kind of summing that up as to how long you've been working on it and that idea of working on a deadline, artistically speaking, mm-hmm. for a composer?
Got the invitation May of last year, was flown out and announced it in August. I was there announcing it from the stage. I hadn't started. Got some ideas together that fall, began working on it in December in earnest, worked really hard on it January, February, March, put the finishing touches in by mid-April. I was then done. And the deadline, according to the contract, was May 1st, and I was actually 2 weeks ahead of schedule. Not that that means anything. Deadlines are great. I like the discipline. I like the challenge. But one thing that was also good was that I had that amount of time that I could devote just to and only, exclusively, to this commission. I didn't have to put it aside in the middle of the day and go to some other project. So that really helped.
And you have, I'm sure, I mean, a professional confidence that you can get the job done in that period of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's people ask me about inspiration. I don't know. I just got a lot of energy. I have a lot of things I want to say. Music comes kind of naturally. I can get ideas. The real issue is, what do you do with the ideas? So when I say ideas, I mean musical ideas. I can go to the piano and find a theme, but the real thing is, how are you going to develop it so that it moves forward? It's a key cohesive whole. It has architectural logic. That's the real challenge. And yeah, you develop confidence over time that you can manage that. Yeah.
Would this be a different piece if it were commissioned by the Boston Symphony Orchestra or the Cleveland
Night and Day
or the Cleveland Symphony versus the Philadelphia Orchestra?
The Philadelphia Orchestra did a performance of a piece of mine called Ash in 2012, which the ballet just danced 2-3 nights ago.
Yeah.
But they did a concert of it. There was no visuals. In 2012, with guest conductor David Zinman, and I went down to listen to it. It was the best, I would say it was the best live performance that piece has ever gotten. And I heard the orchestra in my seat close up, and that was very much in my imagination every day I worked on the piece, that sound that they create.
So you're hearing that sound, that Philadelphia Orchestra
yes.
sound that you've created.
The kind of way that the strings sound, I mean, the famous Philadelphia sound, I think it's different today from what it was 30, 40 years ago, or when Eugene Ormandy was leading it and recording. But they have a sound, and the way that the winds complement that and the brass, yeah, it was very much in my mind.
Does it allow you to do things that perhaps you wouldn't have done if it were for, as I said, for another orchestra, in the sense of because of those dynamics, you know that you can achieve
yeah,
that
well,
sound?
I mean, there's another major orchestra that's closer to home that plays less cohesively. And the thing about Philadelphia is their blend and their phrasing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, that was in my mind. I knew that I could write these rich textures and it would just all come together like gorgeous fabric.
In that coming together, at what point do you know that it has, to your sensibilities, come together?
Performance-wise or composition-wise?
I guess composition-wise. Yeah. I mean, even if 2 weeks before the May deadline, you had a sense?
Well, I it's not that whatever I put on the page is like, oh, well, that's it. For example, I wrote two complete second movements, and not only did I write them, I orchestrated them. And I mean, when Alison Volgamar heard it, she said, "Well, we on a Friday night we should play one, and on the Saturday night we should play the other." She was very excited to hear that from a marketing standpoint. From my standpoint, was I needed to realize two different ways and then hear it in the context of the other three movements to make my final choice over what would work. So it is a lot of painstaking decisions.
I once interviewed the architect Frank Gehry, who said that it hit the point in his career when it came to commissions that he only wanted to work with people that he liked and wanted to work with.
Ah, sounds like Warren Buffett. He'll only buy companies of people he likes. Well, good for him. But that's a privileged position to come from. I mean, if you have to pay the bills and there's someone who you like less well, you might still take the job. For me. Mm-hmm. But I mean, now he's world famous. I love what he's saying, but that's a privileged point of view.
Yes. So, and I guess it gets me to the question of when you have those, another way of asking it is, but you can still say no, right?
Yeah, but there's another main difference. When he asked to build a building, there is one building and the conditions better be right.
Yes.
If you write a piece of music and the unfortunate premiere was sloppily played by an ensemble who can't play, it doesn't bother me because I've written a blueprint which I hope will inform all future performances. And that way what we do is much more malleable. So there's less at stake in that way.
When, as we mentioned earlier, you have been at Yaddo several times, what does that place allow you to do in the creation of not just this piece, but so many of the works that you have been responsible for?
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful, it's formal, which isn't bad. All of your needs are taken care of. So you have this kind of thing where usually when I work, I do 2 or 3 hours, and then I realize I've got all these emails to write, I've got these phone calls to make, I've got this food to prepare, I have these meetings to go. At Yaddo, well, you don't make any of the food, you're not making any phone calls, you're not writing any emails. And so at the end of that 2.5 hours, you say, what am I going to do next? So you kind of take a breath and you say, I'll compose some more. And that kind of intensity really is great.
Are you there now? Are you working
yes.
on something
new? I've been
new?
There for a week. Yes, something for, I think I can announce this. Yes, it's in this, another commission from David Allen Miller to write 3 wind concertinos for their next season. So it's like getting 3 commissions in one, but he said each of them has to be no more than 10 minutes. And he wants me to work in miniature, and I thought that was a really interesting idea.
And you're off to the races.
Yeah, and it's going really well.
Speaking. Wonderful. The world premiere of Unconquered by Michael Torkey will take place on Friday night at 8 o'clock. It will be conducted by Stefan Denev. And Michael Torkey, it's a great pleasure to have you back on the program, and I thank you very much. I'm sure you'll be around when you're back with the ASO.
Well, thank you. It's great to talk to you, Jim.
Very nice to have you on the program. Again, Michael Torkey's world premiere, Unconquered, is Friday night at 8 o'clock. With the Philadelphia Orchestra at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center celebrating its 50th anniversary. You can find out more by going to spac.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.